Tancast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Sometimes the best laughs you get in life are the laughs you get when you're not supposed to be laughing.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tancast Virtual Comedy Theater. Now give it up for your host, Tim Babb.
So you wanna be starting something, you got to be starting something. So you wanna be starting something, you got to be starting something.
Fake applause and welcome to the Tanned Up Comedy Jam presented by the Tancast Podcast. This is a little different than what we normally do here on Tancast. Usually it's me with my two old roommates, Andy and Noah, trying to make each other laugh. This week you're in for a treat, because we're featuring some people that are actually trying to make you laugh. You see, I am a stand-up comic. I started out in the San Francisco Bay Area. While in the Bay Area, I met a lot of really funny comics. So tonight, I'd like to share with you a sampling of some of my favorite comics that I met in the Bay. Full disclosure, some of these comics have since moved away from the Bay Area or were never based in the Bay Area to begin with. But the common thread between all of them was that I first saw or worked with them in or near San Francisco. Now, for every comic you hear on the show, there will be information on them in the show notes of this episode. If they have a website, it'll be there. A Twitter, a Facebook, boom. And also, there'll be a link to the YouTube video I stole their audio from. You see, Tancast doesn't have the budget to get all these funny people together in a room to perform for you. So, what you're about to hear are bits that are already available online. So you can go watch what you are hearing right now. So I've collected these all together as sort of a comedy infomercial. So if you like any of the comedians you hear, I implore you to check them out at a comedy club sometime soon. Many of them have CDs or DVDs available for sale, so if you can't get to a club, that's the next best thing. Okay, well that's enough from me. Let's get this show started with a clip from a guy who not only is hilarious, but who really supported me a lot when I first started out. He's been seen on Jimmy Kimmel Live, The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, Comedy Central's Live at Gotham, and his CD Cut Above Stupid is now available on iTunes. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Norelli.
I'm stressed. My parents passed down all the ADD and the OCD and all the D's. It was my parents. My parents screwed me up. And now when I get a massage, I can't even sit there. I can't even lay down to get rubbed. The masseuse is like, relax, think about the ocean. And I did think about the ocean for a minute. And then I thought about shark attacks, floods, hurricanes. Boom, like immediately. I'm like, I'm out of here. Why? Because I am naked, greasy, and totally unprepared for the next tsunami. This is not working out. There's no way. I'm all lubed up. I'm not going to be able to grab onto a telephone pole or a fat guy or whatever's available. Stressful. You got to look good now, too. You got to look so good. Nowadays, even ugly people can look good. Because surgery is so amazing. Remember in the old days, ugly people, you're like, I'm always going to look better than that dude. I'm always going to be better than that guy. There's nothing that guy can do. Got him. Now people go on TV and get fat sucked out of their face and their head turned around three times. And everybody, you know, that's why I like people that have something wrong with them and they just leave it. Because you never see that anymore. I was at Radio Shack and the manager had three teeth. I was like, heck yeah, yeah. Three is all you need. I mean, that's it. The rest is pointless. The rest is for show. Three, you can bite with three. You can take a, you know what I mean? If they're positioned properly, you can get some work done. You don't need the rest. I like that dude. You know, I trust that guy. That guy is real. He laughs at your joke. He means it. You're funny. He's not going to smile if he doesn't have to. You earn that, son of a bitch.
Our next comedian is also a radio DJ. We worked at the same radio station for many years, and she introduced me to my first comedy open mic. Since then, she's gone on to work clubs all over, working with some of the biggest names in comedy, and now she can be heard mornings on Star 101.3 in San Francisco. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sandy Steck.
Thank you guys very much. Oh, it's good to be home. I feel like anytime you travel and you tell people you're from the San Francisco Bay Area, they automatically assume you're gay. Right? And then I get all defensive. I'm like, no, some of us are bi. I actually love the term bisexual. It kind of fascinates me, because I'm not even convinced that it really exists. I think you are either gay or straight or drunk. Last year was a slow year for me, if you know what I'm talking about. And I had to booty call someone. I've never done that, and I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know how to do it, so I sent him an Evite. Do you know how lame it feels sending an Evite to one person? And then he responded that he would be joining me, and he put plus two guests. I love the expression, nice guys finish last. I do agree with that. But I would also like to add that so do smart, ambitious women. Because apparently we're so intimidating that men need to find someone less challenging. And that's when I step in. I say, listen, buddy, just because I can think for myself, it doesn't mean I use good judgment. I just got back from Las Vegas. I was there a week. So to try and save money, I told myself, I'm like, okay, no gambling for 3 days. No gambling. And I was doing so good. And then I saw a machine that was called the Wolf. And I was like, oh my God, Jacob wants me to gamble. Jacob is telling me it's time. That was a Twilight reference. I'm not ashamed that I love Twilight, okay? I'm not ashamed of it. And apparently women weren't supposed to think that Taylor Lautner's character Jacob was hot because he was 17. His abs were 32. Are you Team Edward or Team Jacob? I'm Team every dude in that movie at this point. Like, Bella's dad is hot to me, okay? Except Chris Cornell. I met a guy with an accent. And women, when women hear a man with an accent, we don't think about who he is. We think about who he could be. It's true. One of my ex-boyfriends' name is Alejandro. And all he had to say when I first met him was, hello. How are you? I was like, I'm good, master. Because English was his second language, so I got a cute little nickname. I was his little sweatheart. For 2 years of that, Sandy, I love you, sweetheart. I love you too, Pit Stain.
We're going to keep this comedy train chugging along with a comic who was recently featured on Crack.com for a performance where he destroyed this annoying, annoying heckler. You got to check that out. But when he's not dealing with interrupting douchebags, he's producing Previously Secret Information, which was named as the best new storytelling series of 2011 by SF Weekly. He's been on Comedy Central, Last Comic Standing, and his new CD, Life is a Joke, is now available on iTunes. Give it up big, kids, for Joe Klosik!
Thank you very much. I'm originally from the Midwest, that's why I look like this. Yeah. I didn't go to a barber one day and say, hey, could you make me look like a Nazi from The Sound of Music? And he nailed it, he did. I've lived in San Francisco for 20 years, so that means when I go back to the Midwest, I am the ambassador of San Francisco. Which basically means people want to ask me gay questions, right? And the first one's always the same. It's always, well, what do you think about gay marriage? What do I think about gay marriage? I think I'm a straight, white, middle-aged guy who can't make it work in his life. Surely the gays won't mind me speaking for them. I don't care who gets married. Now, if you don't like gay people, make them get married. That'll show them. I just can't wrap my head around the concept of why. Why do they want that? They have everything I have right now. My girlfriend, all the time, she's like, when are we getting married? I would love to be able to say, oh, it's against the law. Where's my parade? My parents visited me out here, and my mom goes, well, why don't you show your father the city? Let's take the man that watches 23 hours of Fox News into San Francisco. And then I thought, you know what? I could use new material. Let's go. I brought bail money, my comedy notebook. Which one am I going to need? My dad did not disappoint. Here's what happens. I'm showing him architecture, and he stops in front of this one house that's kind of locally famous. It's blue with yellow trim, pink shutters, and out front, gay pride rainbow flag. My father stops, looks at the whole thing, and just goes, yeah, like we needed the flag to know that homos live there. That's messed up, Dad, but it's funny. What else? What else? I wanted to mess with his head, so I went, Dad, you don't understand. That's their embassy. After that, I'm like, what do I do with him? I gotta keep him out of trouble, right? We end up in this art gallery, and he's staring at this painting that costs like $30,000. There's no way he can afford it, but he can't take his eyes off of it. The woman who owns the gallery comes over and stands next to my dad and just goes, yes, I like this one a lot, too. It says something about where we've been. It also tells us where we're going. At the same time, it says something about where we are today. I don't have a clue what that means. My dad just looked at her afterwards and just went, so does a calendar, and that costs $10. You're on fire, old man, yeah. This almost makes up for childhood.
Next up, we have a bit of a double dip. This next comic is also a musician. We've played a clip of his audio on the show before, but I couldn't decide this time if I wanted to play some of his straight stand-up or one of my favorite of his songs. So I decided to do both. This guy is the leader of the band Roadside Attraction, has several CDs and DVDs available for sale, and if that's not enough, he's a huge Disney freak like me! What more do you want, people? Phil Johnson!
Like, I get really irritated when people are like, oh, I'm broke, I don't have any money, and then they go out and buy really stupid shit, okay? Exhibit A, truck nuts. Truck nuts, the plastic little testicles that hang from the back bumper of the truck. What amazes me about this is that somebody actually has to stand there and make a conscious decision that this is an appropriate use of their funds. It's a symptom of a larger spending problem is the thing, okay? You show me a man buying truck nuts, I will show you a man whose retirement fund is lacking in commas. Okay? You will never see truck nuts on the back of a private jet. That's all I'm saying. It's a larger problem. Kind of weird. I mean, it's a little gay, don't you think? I mean, why not just get a giant plastic penis for the antenna? Just... Don't worry, ladies. We won't leave you out. We'll get you a plastic vagina for your Prius. It'll whistle as the wind goes through it. How's that for your freeway mating call, huh? I just don't understand the message. Whenever we publicly display something, we're sending a message to the world about who we are as a person. And I don't understand the message of fucking truck nuts. Are you trying to say, I'm a man's man, and I'd like to show you my real nuts, but I can't because the authorities don't like it? Or are you really just trying to say, I had to get another pair because mine are in my wife's purse. Because what it says to me is I'm this far from an asshole. That's what it says to me.
Have fun tonight?
That's good. I really appreciate you guys being here and, you know, pre-ordering the DVD. And anybody who's watching, buy it. Buy them for your friends. I appreciate everybody who takes care of me and buys my stuff because that's how I keep a living, you know. Keep a living? I don't know. That's how I keep a girlfriend. It's really... So I just have one more song for you guys tonight. It's been a blast. Here we go.
You've been a wonderful, wonderful crowd. The kind that makes a performer's heart just sing. We've had laughter, we've had tears. We faced down all of our fears. So I only need to say this one last thing. Buy my shit. Buy my shit. I got CDs and t-shirts, DVDs and panties. You can wear my face in all your nooks and crannies. Buy my shit. Buy my shit. I can even get you drugs like aspirin and Imodium. Place just by a modicum of my shit. It's not the kind that comes from a butt, but more like my blood, sweat, tears, and guts. If you say no, I'll say tut, tut, tut. I bet you'd rather buy some stupid Phil Johnson truck nuts. Buy my shit. It'll still get you laid. By my shit. By my shit. It's got super magic powers. It makes money grow on trees. It'll make you rich and famous. Oh no, wait, that's me. By my shit, you'll have fun. It's not a joke, I've got a gun. It's the cure for gout, crabs, heart disease, and zits. Because I can't be funny if I've got no money. Buy my shit, buy my shit, buy my shit.
Coming to our virtual stage was kind enough to bring me with him halfway across the country to play at Christian Science College. Since then, he's really been working hard, appearing at a ton of comedy festivals and competitions, writing award-winning screenplays, and producing award-winning films. By the time this clip is over, he will probably have taken over the entertainment world, so enjoy the comedy of Grant Lyon.
I was hanging out with some friends drinking recently, and my buddy said the phrase, "Woo, let's party like it's 1999! No. 1999 wasn't even a good year, okay? If we're gonna pick a year in this nation's history to party like, let's at least pick a good year, you know? Woo, let's party like it's 1913! Oh, yeah! 1913 was the cat's meow! I mean, for real, right? 1913 was a great year. It was the first year of Woodrow Wilson's presidency. He brought an idealism to the office that seldom been matched. Our country was growing economically. We were at peace with the rest of the world. The first feature film was out. The automobile had been released. Titanic jokes were just becoming popular. Huh? Yeah, she was loose, loose, I tell you. She went down on me like she hit an iceberg. Hi-yo. Yeah. It's a great year. Great year. My buddy was like, "Fine, you can party like it's 1913. I'm gonna party like it's 1923. Dude, you're an idiot. 1923 was the era of prohibition. There was no alcohol then. Have fun at your sober party. Stupid. Stupid party. Nobody's gonna have fun. You know, this is my impression of a party in 1923. Hey everybody, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm sorry I don't have any alcohol, you know it's the law these days. But guess what I do have? 12 types of bread. We're gonna get so full. It's a stupid party. The worst would be partying like it's 1933, though. The time of the Great Depression, you know? Oh, man, this alcohol's good, but I just want some bread. Hi-yo. I was a history major in college. Yeah, Mom, I am using my degree, you know? I actually had the best sex of my life this past summer because I slept with a girl from London on 4th of July, which makes it more epic than 1776. I mean, Are you kidding me? A British girl on American Independence Day? Yeah. Yeah. I've had angry sex before. I've had makeup sex. Nothing beats ironic sex. Instead of making her talk dirty in bed, I just kept making her repeat no taxation without representation. It's a great night. It's a great night. I am a romantic at heart, okay? I am. But I have learned that there is a fine line between being romantic and being creepy, and I do not know where that line is. It's like, surprise, I brought you roses. How did you get in my house? I'm calling the police. Mm-mm-mm. I cut your phone line so we could be together forever. My dating life was doomed from the beginning. Doomed, I tell ya. Growing up, I lived on a street called Man Love. That was the name of the street that I lived on. Man Love was the name of the street that I lived on. Have you ever played that game, like, where you try to come up with your porn name, you know? Right? You guys, you take your pet's name and your street name and you put them together. Ha ha ha, that's fun for the whole family. Yeah, I didn't get too many roles with the name Buttercup Man Love, all right? The street that intersected Man Love, Morningwood. Are you kidding me? I'm living in the neighborhood of practical jokes here. I don't even want kids myself. Like, that's a decision that I've thought about a lot. I actually love kids. I just, that's a lot of responsibility, and I don't think I want to do it myself. But when I tell that to people, they say stuff like, oh, that's being selfish. You don't want kids, you're just being selfish. What? I don't agree with that logic. Not wanting a baby is not selfish. It would be selfish if I wanted all the babies. Like, what? I'm not a weird baby collector. What are you talking about? The worst thing people say is they're like, oh, you can't love a kid until you have one. Yeah, but if you don't have one, you can hate all of them, okay?
This next guy I knew of and was a fan of before I even started comedy. He is the most delightfully creepy man I have ever met. He is the only comic on the bill tonight who has been on both Late Night with David Letterman and The Late Show with David Letterman. Ladies and gentlemen, won't you please say hello to Mr. Excitement, Larry Bubbles Brown.
All right, calm down. Mr. Fun's here. It just keeps getting better. Someone stole my identity. Now he can't meet women. Can't say the right thing to anyone. I get pulled over by the highway patrol. Do you know why I stopped you? I said, because I'm black? Those batons are hard. I read that 15% of Americans are dyslexic. 15%? I thought, wow, just over half. Starting to get health issues. I hate my doctor. He goes, I need a list of all the women you've had sex with. I'm thinking, oh man, do I have a disease? He goes, no, but if you get them into bed, they'll be really easy for me. And he tells me, stay out of the sun. Skin cancer? No, you shouldn't be seen in public. So he got me so depressed, I went to therapy, great psychiatrist, he listened for 5 minutes, said, Larry, maybe life isn't for everyone. I can put you on Prozac, but it might slow down your sex drive. Slow down my sex drive? That's like putting a leash in a turtle. Give me the pill. Sex drive? I don't think I could score in a woman's prison with a fistful of pardons. And she says to me, well, you're lonely. Have you ever been married? I said, I've never been married, but once I sat in a bear trap. So I think I'm already fly. She says, well, if you get married, you know, when you get older, your kids will take care of you. Yeah, I'll be like 90 in a wheelchair. The kids will be standing over me. What's the PIN number? Where's the money, old man? Gays want to get married. Haven't they suffered enough? You can get mail order brides. My luck, she'd choke on the styrofoam peanuts. Tough to meet women. You got no money. I got no cash. I dropped out of college thinking wiffle ball was going pro. You know things are bad financially when you're hoping to get jury duty for the cash. Tough to meet women. I don't like the internet. I like the old personal ads in the paper. You got to read between the lines, though. Like this one woman said she could get lost for hours in a bookstore. Yeah, she had an IQ of 70. She'd get lost anywhere. Another one said she had an incurable romantic. Herpes. Lives in a gated community. Jail. Last one said she'd like to take walks in the rain. She was homeless. God, no money. Oh, this lawyer said to me, hey, do you have a will? I said, to live? He said, no, you should make a will, because when you die, you don't want your relatives fighting over your possessions. Yeah, there's going to be a big riot at City Hall. My relatives fighting to get the 84 Fiero and a Dukakis for president button. That's funny, because it's true. Getting older, starting to get bad thoughts. I don't know. I hate optimists. You know, life's a box of chocolates. Yeah, well, I'm a diabetic. Start to think about death. You know, wouldn't it be neat if you knew what day you're going to die, but not the year? I had a friend of mine, this idiot, comes up. He was all excited the other day. He found some Viagra. He goes, hey, man, you want to try Viagra? Yeah, give me Viagra. It's like giving a homeless person a maid. Then I got scared. Some people reported a six-hour erection. The only thing going through my mind was six-hour erection. Oh, my God, I'm going to sprain my wrist. Did the Viagra work? Yeah, I got carpal tunnel. You guys have been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming out.
Coming up next is a comedian I had the pleasure of sharing the stage with when we filmed our stand-up for the PBS documentary Crossing the Line. He's been on Comedy Central and HBO, and he is one of the most played comedians on the Sirius XM comedy channels. His latest CD, The Master Plan, is available on iTunes, so won't you please give it up big for Mr. James P. Connolly!
What can I say? I love the sound of my own voice. I know it's narcissistic, but I'm not going to lie to you. I like to listen to... I love my voice too much. I know. Sometimes you guys talk to me, and halfway through, I stop listening to you, and I start to imagine how much better that would sound if I just said that to myself. But if you figure out what you're good at and you do it, life will be easier if you know what your sweet spot is in life. Like a buddy of mine, somebody broke into his house. He panicked, now he wants to get a gun. He's never touched a gun before in his life. He's not a gun guy. I said, listen, let me help you out. You need a baseball bat to protect your home. And that's not an insult, because a baseball bat is the perfect home defense weapon. Because any idiot in this room can swing a baseball bat, because you don't have to be baseball good to defend your home. You just have to be pinata good is all you have to be. As a matter of fact, the more spastic and unstable you are, the deadlier you appear to the intruder. A gun is a deadly weapon. You could handle a gun and accidentally shoot yourself, but no one has ever been cleaning a baseball bat and accidentally beat themselves to death. And if that does happen, that's an acceptable loss. That was his time to die. Hey, we all gotta die sometime, believe me. And personal, I think there's too many damn people on this planet right now. That's the problem. We're the apex predator. There's nobody thinning our herd right now. Our numbers are swell. We got billions of people in India and billions of people in China, and we already kill and eat every other living thing on the planet. We're gonna run out of food, my friends, and someday the only thing left to eat is going to be each other. And my point is this. I love Indian and Chinese food. You know who's smiling right now? People who are not Indian or Chinese. Nothing against Indian Chinese people, believe me. I love everybody. I live in LA. We are one of the most ethnically diverse cities in the entire world, and I love it. And I've gotten so comfortable now with ethnic diversity that when I go to other parts of America that are mostly white, my now gut reaction is, oh my God, what have you done with everybody else? I mean, in the year 2050, white people will no longer be the majority in America. In LA, that is so 2005. With diversity. I mean, I actually happen to be half Mexican myself. Okay, good idea. Take your time. Stare at me as long as you need to. I know, nothing screams Latino like James Patrick Conway. You know how hard it is to convince people you're half Mexican when you look like this and you sound like this and your name is James Patrick Connolly, and people will stop me after the show and go, really? You think this is some sort of a joke? Really? You're half Mexican. Well, prove it. Do you know Spanish? As a matter of fact, I do know Spanish. I hear people speak it, and I say to myself, that sounds Mexican to me.
This next comic has been seen on Comedy Central, Last Comic Standing, and was a two-time finalist in the San Francisco International Comedy Competition. He has his own theater show, which he will be performing very soon, where you can see artwork done by yours truly. Please welcome the fantastic Dave Burley.
Welcome to the Motel 6 Comedy Tour. How are you? Because that's where we stay, really. We're going to be honest with you, but I call it the Chateau 6. Chateau 6. Do you know the Chateau 6? They have a slogan at Motel 6. What is it? We'll leave the light on for you. I've got an idea, Motel 6. How about we wash the sheets? Huh? Could we raise the bar a little bit? I think we can get the light. That's the easy part. That's not even being very green, is it? Leaving the light on all day for you. But it's nice. It's nice being back here. A girl, she asked me out to dinner the other night, and she said, Dave, where do you want to go? And I said, how about Chinese food? And she said, no, I can't have Chinese food. I had that for lunch. And I said, so? And she said, so? You can't have Chinese food back to back. Nobody does that. And I'm like, yeah, I think people in China do that. Pretty much every day. And she said this summer she's going to Barcelona. 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 And I said, I think it's pronounced Barcelona. And she said, oh no, in España they say Barcelona. And I said, well, that might be true, but when you say it, you sound stupid. Yeah. Let's stop that and finish our chorizo and eggs. Been hanging out with these knuckleheads. That's been fun. See, as comedians, we only work like 45 minutes a night, so we usually have an entire day to kill of just entertaining ourselves. And recently, what I like to do is I go to Starbucks every morning, and I got tired of ordering my coffee the same way, so now when I go in, I pretend I'm an actor from a movie from the 1930s. And the gal, she'll go, what do you have, sir? And I go, listen here, you. I want a latte, see? And I think you call it a grande. And I want it with extra foam on it, but not too much foam to where it's hanging off my upper lip and making me look queer. And by queer, I don't mean gay. And by gay, I don't mean happy. Now listen here, girl, I'm no good for you. Don't you see? I'm no good for you. You gotta quit me, girl. I'm no good for you. Now wipe those tears off your puss. And by puss, I mean your face. Yeah, and that is usually where they call the manager over. And I say, I'm sorry. I just want coffee. I've been watching reality TV lately. I've been watching a Survivor. Do you watch Survivor? Yeah. I would like to see a tough guy Survivor, like celebrity tough guy Survivor. And you start with Robert De Niro, right? And he's like,
Excuse me, huh? Excuse me, huh? Somebody stole my toothpaste. No, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. A little Aquafresh. Some of the red is missing. Yes, it is. A little bit. A little bit. Joe Pesci, was it you, huh? Was it you?
What do you mean? They're screwing on the reality shows. They're screwing on the reality shows. Why don't you ask Sean Connery?
Listen to me now, you little spider monkey. I don't have any teeth to brush. And even if I did, I wouldn't be using some tri-colored paste. I'd be using the sweat from the pit of my arm. Why don't you ask Bruce Willis?
Yeah, you know, I'm having some trouble of my own. I stole someone's Rogaine. It's obviously not doing any good. What do you think, Jack?
Well, you know, Bruce, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. That's right. You gotta test a little bit south of the border. If you can grow a comb over on your huevos, you can grow one anywhere. How about you, Christopher Walken? Where you been all day?
You know, Jack, here's the deal. I got up at 6, maybe 7, I don't know. Went hunting for fresh, plump blueberries. Make a muffin, pancake, whatever, I don't know. Ran into some poison ivy, poison oak, not sure. The local said you need to rub the sweat of a cow on the affected area. Jack, needless to say, I need more cow gel. I gotta have it.
Now we get to a guy who was a big inspiration for me. He taught me a lot about comedy and about pushing the limits. He has the amazing talent of being edgy without being dirty. He's been seen on MTV, on E! Channel, and his Comedy Central Presents special was ranked by viewers as one of the top 10 best specials for 2011. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Stout.
There's no equality anywhere. Anywhere. Look at the Olympics. We like to get all riled up about the Olympics, right? Prove that we're number one, USA. USA, but there's another international sporting event that we don't bat an eye at. And of course, I'm talking about the International Special Olympics. Thank you. So many people don't even realize the International Special Olympics exists, folks, and that is so sad. We need to rally behind the goofy athletes representing this country overseas, because when you weigh the gigantic heads pound for pound, we have some of the strongest and fastest mongoloids in the world. We would beat the pants off of Zaire if they wore pants and if they were still a country and if we supported our top heavy runners. You give these genetic defects a handful of sugar cubes, they will show you gymnastics. I promise you. They don't even know the meaning of the word lose. They don't. There's this one kid in our team, Cody. We call him Drool Cup. He is the backbone. He is the crooked backbone of this year's team, and he deserves your love and your support when he's running his event, the D-Lay Relay. When he drags his gorilla knuckles across that finish line, when he is up there licking his gold medal, will you give it up, please? Can we end the prejudice and start showing some love for today's athletes? Before they become tomorrow's McDonald's workers. Can we do that, please? Support the Special Olympics. What does it take? And again, look at that. Some people clap. Other people sit there and go, and you know what they're saying? They're saying, no, I am not supporting those retards. And how dare you? How dare you even use that kind of language? They do not like the R word. They give that one thumb down. Which is the most in their culture.
All right, we are down to our final comedian of the night. Our virtual headliner has given me helpful comedic advice more times than I can count. And he clearly knows what he's talking about because Chris Rock is producing a show with him that will air on FX this summer. The show is called Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell. This clip is from his CD, Face Full of Flour, and the comedian is W. Kamau Bell.
Here's the thing, man. Everything's so confusing now. I never understood how complicated it would be for me to have a black president. Anybody else feel like this way? Any black people? Like how it would affect me on a daily basis having a black president? Like I was just like, yay, black president. And suddenly it's like, oh. Like every time I see Barack on TV, I have these weird, like depending on how he's doing, I get really involved in it. I have all this sympathy for like rich white guys who watch the Dow Jones go up and down now. I thought you guys were assholes, but now I get it. I'm affected, really personally, by shit that doesn't really have anything to do with me. I'm just watching Barack like, yeah, oh shit, no, yeah, oh no, yeah, yeah, Barack, go, no, don't do the, no, no, yeah, yeah, oh God, yeah, damn. And that was just the day he won the Nobel Peace Prize. Gave the dude the Nobel Peace Prize. I love Barack, but he's only been in office 10 months. He's involved in 2 wars. Did they give it to him because we're losing both of them? I don't understand. I love Barack. It's not his fault that he won the Nobel Peace Prize. People are criticizing him like he campaigned for it. They gave it to him, you know? It's not his fault. You know he had to be like, oh, shit. You know the day they woke him up, his whole staff knew. They probably woke him up, Barack, good morning. I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you won the Nobel Peace Prize. The good news is I'm not you. Good luck, Negro. Seriously. It's a disaster out there. You can't win for losing for winning. It's really bad. And I feel bad because Barack winning the Nobel Peace Prize clearly is the system that's fucked up. It's not he didn't do anything. The system did that to him. Think about it. If you get a new job and 10 months later they give you a lifetime achievement award, that job is fucked up. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't even know how to use the cash register. What are you talking about? I'm $8 short every day. What do you mean? My name badge says trainee on it. What do we sell here? I don't even know. Understand. And here's the messed up part. Because think about all the people who've never won a Nobel Peace Prize. Gandhi never won a Nobel Peace Prize. I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Gandhi never won a Nobel Peace Prize. Gandhi, the guy who won a peaceful revolution, never won a Nobel Peace Prize. What were they looking at him just like, we'd like to give it to him, but he's just not doing anything. He's just standing there. Maybe if he ate something, he'd be stronger to do something, but he's not even really dressed. What is he? He's wearing a blanket. I don't understand. Put on some pants, then we'll think about it. We can't have him showing up to the press conference dressed like that. Gandhi never won a Nobel Peace Prize. Bob Marley never won a Nobel Peace Prize. Am I pronouncing it wrong? Bob Marley. Who has done more to trill motherfuckers out than Bob Marley? Just for the work he's done for white frat boys alone, you know what I mean? When you put on Bob Marley Legend at a frat party, date rape goes down like 12%. Girl, you better get ready. You gonna get a raping, girl. You gonna get a raping. Wake up and turn her loose. Never mind, girl. For the rain is falling. Really, aw? Really, aw? I saved a girl from date raping. Aw, that's too far. I'm doing the Lord's work. Until people start to respect that.
That's our show. Hope you enjoyed some or all of these comics. Maybe you found a new favorite comic. When you visit these folks' sites or shows, be sure and tell them Tim Babb and Tancast sent you, because they are far more likely than me to blow up huge, so maybe they will take me along with them for the ride. No, I'm just saying. They're funny, that's why I put them on here, so please go and enjoy them. And I wish I had room in here to put all the comics that I love from the Bay Area, but some of you don't have good YouTube clips online. You hear me, Kellen Erskine? Get it done. Reggie Steele, where you at? Put it on YouTube. All right, well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with comedians I met when I moved to Los Angeles. And the week after that, we'll be back to a regular Tancast podcast for our 200th episode. That's all for this week. You're doing it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tancast podcast. You can go to our official website, tancast.com, where you can read our blogs and find links to the official Tancast Facebook page, the official Tancast Twitter page, and the official Tancast store. We'd love to get emails from you, so email us at fucktards@tancast.com or yourmom@tancast.com, or you can email the guys individually at Tim, Andy, or Noah at tancast.com. As always, we'd like to thank DJ Technoid for creating the official Tancast theme, and we'd like to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review so other people can find us. That's all for this week, and as always, remember, don't be an idiot!
TanCast.
My favorite about a month ago was the Gilroy Garlic Festival they had down in Gilroy. Who gives a crap, really? I mean, it's garlic. Do we really need a 3-day festival about it? I mean, the Gilroyans, they're awfully happy about it because, let's face it, it's Gilroy. Nothing happens in Gilroy. So they're like, we have garlic! We have garlic! Oh, shut up! And they've got these speeches going on through the entire thing celebrating the majesty and the majesticness of garlic. And I'm listening to one of them. The guy goes, yes, we're proud here in Gilroy to be the garlic capital of the world. Even though China technically grows more garlic per year. So what makes Gilroy the garlic capital? You see, Gilroy has the technology to put the garlic in jars. That's it? That's all we got? I mean, you're telling me the Chinese made my car, my stereo, my computer, but they can't put garlic in a jar? How hard could it be? Open up a jar, toss in some garlic, close the jar, you're done. Oh no, we can't have a, how can we do it? How can you? Gilroy Garlic Festival, it was the one event I knew I was not going to run into my ex-girlfriend. And people said, well, yeah, it's really popular, she may show up. I'm like, no, I'm certain she won't, because blood-sucking vampires don't